Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
And Michael is brought to you by my friends at HawkAuto.com, as I almost fall down. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. David Kaplan's in for Sylvie. It is spring trading, and Michael Wilbon joins us right now. Mike, how are we today, buddy?
I'm good. I think I'm sort of getting close to ready for baseball season as I leave the studio for where we did PTI in Arizona. I'll drive past, like, I don't know, five different stadium complexes while I'm talking to you guys. So I'm trying to get myself in a baseball frame of mind even as we start March Madness.
All right, before we get to baseball or even basketball, I don't believe we have talked to you since, obviously, the trade.
That's
Justin,
right.
Justin goes to the Steelers. Your thoughts on what transpired?
Well, I'm sure my thoughts are probably echoing most people's thoughts. I mean, you certainly hope the Bears could have gotten more for Justin. I think, you know, as far as he's concerned, I think he's going to a good situation for him. Just like I thought Russell Wilson was going to a good situation with Mike Tomlin, where they don't have to be everything. The Steelers don't pin everything on the quarterback in ways that some franchises do, and the Steelers seem to be the kind of place with structure and culture. People talk about Miami Heat culture. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers have that in football, and I think it's a good place for Justin to go. Now, I've concerned myself much less with that as every hour has passed. And it's like, all right, you know, the Bears have the pick. Is it going to be Caleb Williams? Is he going to be ready for this? I love the receiver, the skill group, the backs, the tight end. I love the people that they have assembled now. The Bears need a line still. They need help along that line. I don't think you could ever have enough healthy, talented, productive linemen, but they got time to address that. But I want to see that's got to be in front of Caleb Williams just like it needed to be in front of Justin Fields. So the Bears still have some building to do, but I like what they've assembled around, presumably, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, the infrastructure is certainly significantly better, and that was the goal. Significantly better for Caleb Williams than it was for Justin. And we've said on a number of occasions, Mike, Justin was dealt a bad hand in many ways, and the infrastructure for him wasn't very good. But unfortunately, in the National Football League, this is what happens sometimes. And Ryan Poles decided that Caleb Williams or somebody else is a better option at the most important position in sports. And, oh, by the way, they have the first overall pick in the draft this year.
Yeah, it becomes, the narrative now gets simpler, but it's still difficult to execute that story. Just because somebody's chosen at the top of the draft doesn't mean it's always going to work out. And right now you got, two or three people, you have at least three players who appear to be the top three picks. And last year, Carolina got that wrong, and the second team, Houston, got it right. And so, Tommy, you and I have said a number of times, can we just get it right?
Yes.
That's what I'm most interested in, getting it right.
All right, I want to talk to you about the stadium because the Arlington Heights Bears are coming. And today,
Mike, I just for the record, okay? I told him you're walking into the Lion's Den here.
We're not going to spend much time on this because this is useless, and you know where I stand on this, and I said it pretty definitively last week.
And I was gone, so I didn't get the victory lap you were on.
That's right.
And you know that Arlington Heights came out today, and they've now put together a compromise. And it makes so much more sense than staying downtown where you have the same issues along the lakefront. You got
It doesn't. And no matter how many times you say it, you're not going to persuade me. It's not going to happen. So let's move on. Let's not waste our time. Let's move on.
All right, when you need to get into the Malnati's out in Arlington Heights, just call.
I'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, before the game. Is the Malnati's leaving downtown? Is it leaving?
Is it?
They have multiple Malnati's.
Yeah.
I don't need multiples. I need the one I can walk to.
Mike, when do you? I would think sooner rather than later, because every year that goes by, it just means that the price of construction is going to go up precipitously
for every stadium,
for every regardless of where it's at. When do you think that something firm will be announced?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We live in the second most political city in America. I don't know. I don't concern myself with that because I don't know enough about it. I'm not going to be disingenuous. Have I been in a room where this has been talked about, even with the mayor? Yes, I have. But I don't know. I don't concern myself with it. I have no idea the hiccups that could be involved with building one anywhere, including cost and over. I don't know. Can't say I really care. I care about it more with the stadium in Evanston that's going up for Northwestern, the football stadium there. I care about it more there, and I'm not going to pretend to you I know what the hurdles are all the time in that, and I'm involved in that intimately. So, sorry, wrong guy when it comes to that. And that's
all right, let me ask you this question. Is the eventual, and it looks like probable, drafting of Caleb Williams the single most exciting thing to happen to the Chicago Bears other than a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
No, I'm not. Come on, I'm older than you guys. No, I watched Walter Payton every week. Stop. No,
those teams
I watched Gale Sayers when I was a little kid. I watched Dick Butkus. I watched the defense dismantle the Cowboys 44-0. A Cowboys team that won its division. No. The recency bias. No, stop. I'm not 12 years old, and I'm not. I wasn't produced by the Get Up era.
Nor am I. I'm almost your age. Bears,
I was more excited watching Tommy Waddle go over the middle and catch 12-yard pass.
By the way, Mike, I asked Jeff Miller this question. He couldn't answer it. Name somebody who's got a higher yards per reception average than Keenan Allen that you may know quite well.
You mean active?
No, come on. You may know him quite well. This person, former Bears receiver, had a higher yards per catch average
in his career
than Keenan Allen does right now.
Tom Waddle.
Yes! Thank you.
How about that, Mike?
12 right. point, what was it, Miller? 12.2?
12.2
yards per catch.
You know what? Because people actually threw the ball down the damn field then. They don't anymore. Half of what goes on is swing passes. I mean, I know there's only so many Justin Jeffersons in the world, but, you know, I mean, half the passes caught now seem to be, you know, at the line of scrimmage or within 3 yards of it. That, you know, Terry Bradshaw didn't do that. That's not what he did. So, of course, the completion percentage, which people freak out over, was going to be lower then. Of course, there were more interceptions. People threw the ball down the field. They don't anymore, rarely. I mean,
Plus, I was the yak master, yards after the catch.
He was.
Nobody yak was better. Master, I like
watched
that.
You return
yak
a punt for a touchdown.
Yeah. You bet your ass I ran
I
that punt
say,
back.
I watched that punt return. So I remember that.
Yeah. All right, Mike, let me ask you a question. There is a story from ESPN. Courtney Cronin did great reporting that four other teams made offers for Justin Fields, and at least two of those had better draft capital than what they settled for, but Justin wanted to go to Pittsburgh, so they said, we're going to do right by him. Do you feel like they did right by him, or they should have worried about the franchise and gotten better picks?
Well, you can worry about the franchise. You can do both. And, yes, I on Saturday, and I was on air doing countdown from Los Angeles for NBA stuff, and I wasn't totally locked into this, but I knew there were – Courtney knows. She's all over this. I knew there were at least two. And listen, one of the things the Bears have to do, and I know this because I am not just in Chicago. I'm talking to people, listening to people. I don't reach out to people anymore. I'm listening to people around the league. The Bears have to repair their reputation. And one of the things the Bears have to do is impress players and their agents around the league that they're serious and that they will do right by and take care of players. They have to. This is part of when people say, why didn't the Bears get that guy? Because so often the agent and the player will say, no. The Bears could not afford, from what I heard even before the trade was finished, was consummated. The Bears could not afford to sort of make it look to 1,400 NFL players like they were turning a cold shoulder to Justin Fields, because that does not help the franchise. Yes, you may get a conditional fourth instead of a conditional sixth, but what damage do you do to your franchise overall? What damage do you do the rest of this free agent season and next and next and next? And so the Bears don't have the greatest reputation. And part of what, and I don't know whether polls, a general manager's job is to look at the future of the franchise, and that's why the general manager and the coach should never be the same person. But the president of the team really has to look at that. And Kevin Warren has worked in a number of places with a number of people. He knew when he sat, you know, with the McCaskies and talked about taking this gig, he knew what the Bears' reputation was. And he knew that if you're going to do business at the top of that pyramid, it had to get better. Is this part of that reparation? I don't know that, but I suspect it is. I suspect it was. When I was told about other teams and the draft picks they might have gotten, and they're marginally better. Nobody was offering it. They didn't turn down a second-round pick. All people right. don't get crazy. I was told by somebody not with the Bears, hey, you know, the Bears have done a lot of good work in this offseason, and some of it is, Tommy, you said infrastructure.
Yeah.
Infrastructure includes sort of what people think of you and how you do business. And every business and every industry has to deal with this. So, you know, I mean, the Bears have some repair to do. And are they doing it? It seems like, from what I've heard, the answer is yes. How much more do they have to do? I don't know. I'm not out there covering the league every day, but I've heard from people, including some recent ex-players, who said to me, hey, I didn't go to the Bears because of, I'm talking about guys saying this to my face recently. So if the Bears can make a step in that direction, then good for the hierarchy for understanding the importance of it and starting to execute.
Enough football conversation. Do you have any strong Bulls thoughts for us today, or are they just kind of background noise for you?
You know what? That's a great question. It's, you know what? Damn, that's a really good question. It's somewhere in between, because, you know, there's some nights where they put together, when they've got everybody together. Now, they didn't have Kobe out there the last game. They barely beat Portland, for God's sake. Was that last night?
Yes. They beat Portland last night.
When they go big against teams where you can do that, and they have Vooch and Drummond out there, and Kobe's playing, Kobe and DeMar, you know, they started the season 5-14. So that means they're 8 games over .500 since. And I hate to say it like this, but they're 8 games over .500 essentially without Zach LaVine. You know, 8 games over. I mean, the Lakers and Warriors aren't 8 games over. They're not for the season. I think they're like both 4. Maybe one is 5. So the Bulls, no, it's not just background noise. Am I going to sit here and tell you that from the 7 or 8 they can beat Milwaukee or the Celtics? No, I'm not going to tell you that. Nobody's going to tell you that. Although, right now, if they played Milwaukee, I like the Bulls to push them. Just, you know, make it a 6-game series, scare Milwaukee some. And the Bulls can't get to 6. They just can't, even with, you know, Philly's been really able to sort of steady it a little bit without the MVP. So it's more than background noise. And I'm not, they're not going to be able to win a round. They're not. They're not Miami of last year. But if they get to play, if they could somehow get the 7 seed, which is going to be difficult,
yeah,
and play Milwaukee in a first round series, I'm serious. I said this to somebody in the league last night, and I didn't get laughed at, which was like a nice place to be. What do you guys think?
I'm a Billy Donovan guy because it tells me a lot that his guys play hard for him.
Yes, yes.
They don't quit. Yes. That team could have folded up the tent. No Patrick Williams, no Lonzo Ball, no Zach. They could have gone, we're out. And here they go. Just keep battling.
That's right, 3 starters.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. I like that. And that, but they all, yeah, so 2 things. One, the in order, priority. 1, they keep battling. 2, they're not bad.
You know, one thing that the thing
they're not really good, but they're not bad.
What I would identify, and Cap and I talked about this briefly earlier, that, and I'm not suggesting that Io projects to be an NBA All-Star, but the development of Kobe White and the growth of Io to me is encouraging because tell me how much growth. And they've got a new player development guy, right? That Cap, you're talking
remember
about.
Peter Patton from DePaul? They hired him away from the Mavericks. He's in charge of player development, doing a great job.
And I want to give the players credit first and foremost. But listen, Mike, we sat on this show for you know, week after week asking, where's the development of Patrick Williams? Now, you haven't seen it because he's been hurt and he's no longer active.
But there has been,
like, whether it's elsewhere. Kobe White or Io, there has been some player development, and that,
even Vooch and Drummond, veteran players who've really seemed to accepted their, not just roles, but positions within the team. They clearly like playing together now. They do. And this is why I say I want to see if they can have all those guys out there. And Caruso doing his thing. And the thing about Io and Kobe is in my, so I don't know if you vote for three on your most improved or five. If you vote for five, Kobe's definitely one. It's going to be tough to beat out Jalen Williams at Oklahoma City. It's going to be tough to beat out my man at Golden State, who has just, you know, played incredibly this season once Steve Kerr really put him in the lineup. He's averaging like 22 a game. It's going to be tough to beat out those two guys. And I had a third person, too. But Kobe is in the discussion for most improved player. And Io, like, those guys can be your second and third backcourt pieces on a real team. They can. Now, you still need a star wing player. And that's where, look. By any measure now, and I used to, my brother and I, my brother Don and I go battle each other about this since the draft night. Because obviously, they got it, they didn't get it right. Patrick was chosen fourth. That's the pick now. See, the team,
that hurts.
Other than Southern California and South Florida, you're not going to get a free agent. That's not what happens. The Knicks don't get free agents, really.
You're right.
They got the important one from Chicago. And Jalen Brunson. But that's not the deal. You got to get lucky. You got to be good and lucky in the draft. And that's what the Bulls, that pick of Patrick Williams, who has not turned out at all to be what they needed, that is the piece that kills them from the difference from being a 8-9 and maybe a 5.
The one thing I would say.
You're battling.
I think, and this may, you know, resonate or it may not, I think it's easier to play hard and do what they're doing now when there are limited to no expectations. There's no Zach. There's no Patrick Williams.
Yeah, but they did
no
this
Lonzo.
When those guys were all healthy two and a half years ago. They did. They played hard.
That was
the appealing thing about that team. They played so hard when something was at stake.
I think it's – but I guess my point is, in the world of sports, I find it often – not always, but often – when nobody expects anything from you and there's no pressure, it's when guys actually can maybe surprise you a little bit. It's when the expectation level gets to a higher level and you're now one of the hunted versus one of the hunters that life becomes more complicated and sometimes you don't get to where you want to go.
Well, we'll find out because they're going to be in the play-in.
Yes.
So, you know, look, they could have had something – I'm less than magical, but more impressive last year. They should have taken Miami out. So let's see what they got. I mean, let's see what we'll find out. Because expectations, because there's no expectations of these Bulls the rest of the way, except in their own room. But the pressure's coming because the playoffs are coming. And whether it's play in and they can get themselves into a 7-2, I mean, I like some of what they've got. In a 7-2, which is why I say, can they push Milwaukee to 6? Can they make them nervous? Can they go out and steal a game of the first two in Milwaukee? Let's find out. So that, Tommy, to your point, whether we agree or disagree, we're gonna find out. They got another shot at that, and it's up to them to prove you wrong. To say, okay, we're gonna play hard now when everything's at stake, and I think this year, by the way, real quickly, I think this year we're going to see some stuff in the NBA playoffs that we're just not. I don't mean Boston or Denver losing, but everybody else is fair game.
I want to go back to football for a second because RG3, I thought, put one of the most pathetic takes on social media where he said Caleb Williams should refuse to play for the Chicago Bears.
It's not worth addressing. It's too silly. It's just I'm gonna have a hot take. And RG3 is very good at what he does, and yes, I know him and I like him a lot. I don't. Here's the difference. Here's when you get to be my age, fellas. I'm too old to consider dumb stuff. I'm just too old for it.
At least we're in agreement.
I dismiss stuff that's too stupid to deal with, like the Bears playing in Arlington. I don't have time for that.
Okay, promise me.
I don't have time for RG3 saying, for what? For what purpose would that happen? RG3 didn't do that. So what's he talking about?
Okay, but we've been on this ride with Mike for over a year now about the stadium, and he has rubbed it in our face on more than one occasion. So just be careful what you're getting into right now, Cap.
We're not going to talk about it. I just want Mike to promise me that when they announce and they put the shovels in the ground in Arlington Heights, you and I will go out to dinner. You're paying. We could drink wine and have laughs and eat steaks.
And when they put the shovel in the ground for a few blocks south on Lakeshore Drive,
That's a deal.
You know, I mean, This is, it's not even, you know, as I say, I don't get excited about this. It's like, you know, there's certain, look.
Mike, you just got a free meal.
I can pay for my own meal these days.
I know, but this meal's going to be so much more delicious when Cap's got to pay for it.
It'll be fun just hanging out with Cap anyway, because we don't get a chance to sit and chop it up. And like as much as I'd like to, and you too, Tommy, for that matter. We always have these like one a year. We got to have more than a one off.
Absolutely.
Here's what we should
have.
Come to
town. You're hanging out in the warm weather in Arizona.
Listen.
I don't blame you.
And I was with Chicago people all week. I was sitting out. I think I can tell the story.
Yes.
If something happens in public, you can tell it. So I'm sitting out after PTI in Scottsdale on a 75-degree afternoon a couple days ago. Having a hot dog, feeling very Chicago-like. And somebody pulls up in a gas station and says, "What are you doing with a hot dog, like, on the street?" And then he started laughing hysterically. And I can't remember whether he got his own hot dog or not. It was Michael Reinsdorf. And we had a funny moment of Chicagoans who basically wake up and say, "I'm not doing this anymore right now. There are places where there's sun. I'm going there."
Yeah, I don't blame you. Hey, we would
I'm coming back. And okay. Milwaukee series, what restaurant would we go to during the Milwaukee series in Milwaukee? Where would we go?
Real chili.
I was just going to say, like, I don't know, Denny's? Like, what do they got in Milwaukee?
Man,
I've been there.
Now,
I haven't been in Milwaukee in a long time.
You sound like Charles.
I know.
You sound like Charles. I stay in my apartment in Streeterville when playoff games are in Milwaukee that we're covering for the network. And so TNT and ESPN are there, and Barkley says to me, "Hey, boy, where you going? We're going to dinner." And I said, "I'm going to Chicago." And Charles says, "Hey, boy, you got room in the car?" And I'm like, "Of course." And Charles has this really funny line, which he says, "You know, how in Chicago, I'm gonna call while we're on the way. I'm gonna get a room at the Four Seasons." I said, "Good." He goes, "Because right here in Milwaukee, all I can stay in is the No Seasons." And I'm like, "Chuck." And you know, it's only as Charles can say that and pull it off. But we can find some place to have dinner in Milwaukee. If it's Boston,
yeah, we'll find something.
I don't expect them to get a game in Boston, but you know.
Well, Mike, we always appreciate the conversations.
By the way, 87 wins minimum for the Cubbies.
87. That's the over-under. Okay.
Over-under's 83.5 in Vegas.
Oh, 83. So you're taking the over cap.
Yes. Free money.
All
free
right.
Money.
I like
free,
that. I'm good with that. And, I want to catch a game next week here. I'd like to see the Cubs. What is opening day?
Opening day is next Thursday night in Texas on ESPN.
Well, at least they're not trying to play games in Chicago in March.
Finally.
That's when the league shows it majors in dumb when it does stuff like that.
Do you know
that.
What? Like my, this is my baseball suggestion, and nobody's ever really... I think everybody's just giggled at me and just waved their hand at me.
What?
Listen, I think that the Cubs should, if you're going to play games in March, play them in Arizona at your minor league or at your spring training stadium.
Cubs home opener is April 1st.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Play it out.
It's going to snow that week.
Play it out in wherever they play. Scottsdale, play out there. How many people can you get in that place? How many people can you get in that?
8 or 9 or really? 12 in the double digits.
How many can I get it's out beautiful. Like laying on the lawn outside in the back?
It's beautiful 15,000. Out there.
15,000.
I go every year. It's 15?
How many?
I think 15 it's slow.
If you've got crappy weather up on the north side, mm-hmm. are you getting more than 15,000
people?
You're
not going to get more than 18 no. or 20. Yeah.
Play in Arizona. Play in your minor league stadium.
I'm down with that.
See?
I'm down with
I
that.
Just solved, I solved Major League Baseball scheduling problem
hey,
right there.
More importantly, we just agreed on a stadium issue. How about that?
Boom. There you go. We're making progress.
Cubs Rockies Monday, April 1. Let's go.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I don't want to get any part
of that. Where's going to be more snow, Denver or Chicago on that day?
Good
yes.
point. Good question.
Yes. Mike, we appreciate the conversation.
You're the
thanks,
man.
Buddy. Have a good rest
all
of your
right,
week.
You guys.
All right. See you all in Arlington
good.
Heights. Have a good day.
Oh, stop that. We
that
have to have that
guy.
Conversation. We're not going to have time for it, really, maybe. Maybe before we get out of here because we've got Aki's A-list. But
yep. Maybe we'll do spring trading again next week.
Well, I'm sure we can.
Let's do it. Get it done, Danny.
But we will have the stadium conversation before we get out of here. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right, but when we come back, it's Aki's A-List.
You're listening to Spring Training Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Okay, that off-the-air conversation will stay off the air for its entirety. You know what it's time for? We're not going to goof around because we never give this segment of the show enough air.
We actually did when I was here on spring trading with Sylvie.
Really?
Yes. It
like,
was,
I think this is a segment that deserves a half hour.
We almost did, right, Tyler? Tyler had all of 20-something
minutes
that
yeah.
Sylvie disagreed with as Aki's A-list, like Kyle Schwarber is a beer league softball player, Mitch Trubisky.
Have you gotten off that?
No.
How could you? Come on.
The guy hit like 189.
Let it go. Stop. But his on base percentage was over, it was 300, 310, 340.
Okay.
Like, okay.
That's not elite. It's fine. He has big power.
Whoa. There's an enormous chasm between elite and beer league softball player.
Beer league softball players hit a ton of home runs and they strike out a lot.
Come on.
And that's what he does.
He hit a 340 on base percentage and he's clutch as F. Come on.
What, he had 47 homers last year?
Come on.
46.
Let go of it. This one, you're going to just take the L.
No.
Just take the L.
He's a great person.
Take the L. You know you should take the L on this one. I'm not telling you should take the L on some of the other craziness.
What did he strike out, Mellor? 211 times?
Mellor, talk to him about strikeouts.
No, I 343 on base. He
Mellor's
hit
47
homers last year, Cap. He scored 108 runs. They lead him off. Now, if you like, listen, defensively, he's atrocious.
Well, he's a DH.
He's a beer league softball player.
Stop.
It's a lot of bombs. A lot of cool. It's cool. And if he had hit one like another 8 feet, you'd have won $4,000 at the World Series.
It wasn't even 8 feet. It was a foot.
Yeah, it was off the wall.
It was off the wall. I was sitting next to Mellor. Mellor posted it. It's probably the first time I've ever been a video of me posted
on
the
social
internet.
Media.
Yeah. Mellor sitting right next to Mellor. Oh, blank is what I said.
Because you had him to hit a homer at what, 40-1?
I had 100. Did I have $100 on that to hit 40?
It was, yeah. Was it 200-1? I think, I don't know.
No, it was 40-1, and I bet 100 bucks on it. It would have been $4,000. My life.
That was
just love the video. It's on my Twitter feed. If you just watch your visual reaction, though, that is everything. Because you could see it in your eyes. You're like, son of a...
It just, come on. Just, I mean, look. Some of the stuff that Jeff said is okay. This one, you got to walk back.
Or at least admit you would like a beer league softball player on your team on the north side. Because he's
guy
pretty damn
like,
good.
Or on the south side, a left-handed bat that could hit 40 bombs.
They should have signed him.
We've got Garrett Crochet. Take it easy.
Well, you don't sign beer league softball players in free agency. So I just think that... I think you're locked
on
to that.
They've got half a roster of guys I've never heard of on the White Sox.
You know what? Do you know
beer league softball players cost more than $82 million.
Do you know what his How many home runs he hit the year before in 2022?
Yeah, 46. I knew there was a 46 somewhere in his.
And then followed that up with 47.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 122 OPS plus last year.
That's not beer league softball.
I didn't say he's a bad player.
You called him a beer league softball player.
You're cutting into Tyler's.
Okay, sorry,
Aki's
my bad. Well, then we'll just carry
Here's
it to Aki's the top
A-list.
Of the
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's World, Aki's A-List. A-list. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
And here's Tyler Aki with Aki's A-List.
All right. So we talked a little bit yesterday about win expectations for next year. I want to modify the question a little bit for the two of you today. So Caleb,
I think
Williams,
I was low man on the totem pole, wasn't
what'd
I?
You say nine.
Yeah, you said nine yesterday. Projected wins.
So let's assume Caleb Williams will be the quarterback for the Chicago Bears next year. We know, just based on how this stuff works, Caleb Williams will in all likelihood be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Let's say that does come to fruition. If Caleb Williams wins Rookie of the Year, now that can range anything from he pulls off a C.J. Stroud-level season to he's the best of a bad bunch. If Caleb Williams is Rookie of the Year next season, how many games do the Chicago Bears win?
Minimum 10. Minimum. They're going to win minimum of 10, as long as they're healthy.
So you're not jacking that up a little bit if he wins? Like, I mean, if he's the NFL Rookie of the Year, I have him at 9. There's still so many. Look,
got a last place schedule.
Okay, that schedule thing that can change quickly over the course of
it
a season. They haven't beaten the Green Bay Packers since when? Like what? So you're just giving them a split with the Packers, having never seen them win against the Packers in how long?
I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, how you get into 11 wins without at least winning one against the Packers?
I said minimum 10.
How you get into 10 without minimum? Like, look.
But if Caleb's Rookie of the Year, I think that's the important part to factor in here. So you know you're getting.
I think if he's the NFL Rookie of the Year, then I would say 11. I would go 11.
I could easily see that.
He's
going to
be the favorite. He's going to be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year next year.
Can you bet that now?
I haven't seen odds on it yet.
I don't think your odds would be very good, would they?
No, you're probably not going to get very good odds on it, especially given the situation that he's being dropped into.
Yeah, he's going to be an overwhelming favorite.
He may even have like a minus in front of his odds.
No way.
Plus 140, maybe? Something like that? 150?
They're going to be very short
odds. North of 2-1.
Really?
Yeah, because the thing is,
there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Daniels and May and McCarthy, assuming they're not the pick by the Bears' landing spot with the weapons that are going to be at his disposal are going to make him an overwhelming favorite.
And then the fact that he plays quarterback as well. And
so answer your own question. I said 11. I said they'll win 11. If he is the NFL Rookie of the Year, I'm going to give him 11 wins. Meller?
Because it's a good class. Yeah, you know what? I'll even be optimistic. I'll go 12. If he's Rookie of the Year and that offense is humming, I think the Bears win 12 games.
And remember, we went through this math yesterday, right? How many teams won 10 games last year? Nine? Was it nine teams?
Nine teams.
I think it was 12.
Was it 12?
12 teams and then another seven, I want to say, won nine. So 19 finished above 500 last year.
Yeah, so I mean, you had three teams in the AFC North that won 10 games or more.
You want us to pull up their opponents? You want to go through the schedule?
No, it was nine. It was nine, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're right. There's 12 teams last year won double-digit games.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, who do they play besides their division?
They have
We going to do this? We really doing this?
Yeah.
All right, boys.
I don't even know what their schedule
Bears
looks like.
Opponents. I believe they have the AFC South.
I can give you their home games and their away games. We don't know when.
I am not doing this exercise.
You are. Shut up and do it.
This is the dumbest thing we've done all calendar year.
At home, the Detroit Lions.
Win.
Cap?
I say that they'll win here.
Is this with Caleb Williams as the NFL Rookie of the Year?
Yes. At home, Green Bay Packers.
Win.
Win. At home, Minnesota Vikings.
Win. They start the season?
No, this is not in order. These are their home games.
Oh, okay, win. I'd say they'll split with the division.
Yeah,
win
don't
at
know
home
the
and lose
yet.
Away.
Yeah. Right, you may, L.A. Rams at home.
Win.
Ooh, that's a good Rams team.
That's good.
No Aaron Donald. He's retired.
That's true. Okay, I'll go
No
win.
Cameron Shelton.
Seattle Seahawks that's at Soldier.
Win.
That's a win.
Jaguars at home.
Win.
Yeah,
I got them 17-0.
Titans at home.
Win.
Win.
Panthers at home.
Win.
And the Patriots are a home game.
Win.
When they lose the Jacksonville game, I have them losing.
I'm not playing this game. I'm just saying
okay,
words.
Okay, what are the road games?
I'm just saying
and one
words.
Of those is going to be in London, too. One of those
home
games.
I don't want to play.
We're going to be doing the morning show there.
On the road at the Detroit Lions.
I'm not playing your game, Miller.
Well, you said the road, the Lions lost.
I'm not doing this.
Cap, well, the Packers in Lambeau.
Loss.
Vikings in Minnesota.
Win.
Okay, so that's... This one road win. Cardinals on the road.
Win.
That's two road wins for Cap. 49ers on the road.
Loss.
The Texans are on the road.
Loss.
The Colts are on the road.
Win.
That's three away wins. And the Washington Commanders are away.
Win.
So you have four road wins and what do we say? Seven or eight home wins there, Cap?
That was seven.
Look, so if the quarterback,
11-6.
If the quarterback is Rookie of the Year, I'll go with 11 wins. If that's not the case, I'm going with 9. I mean, there's still questions about this team. I'm excited. I'm optimistic, but like...
Oh, jump without a net for Christ's sake.
Shut up. Dude, make decisions based on...
You're softer than Joniak. At least he did the exercise.
How'd that go?
It's still up there?
How'd that go?
Yeah, what did he say?
He had them 11-6. Uh-huh. What were they? Seven?
Seven
wins.
Ten.
Yes, but
seven.
What happened?
Do you know how many I had them
at? How many games did they choke away, right?
You know what? We play that game. I don't buy that game either.
Jeff
well, they
should have
won this game, and that game. You know what? That they didn't.
He didn't know that Matt Eberflus would have three historic losses.
Ask the good kid when he comes in here for crosstalk whether or not he looks at those games as, well, we should have won that. No, you didn't win.
Yurko's always been optimistic in my presence.
Right. Your record is,
your record is who
your
you
record
are.
Says you
yes.
are, as Bill Parcells put it. By the way, can you name me in the last 18 seasons?
By the way, they don't win the game in Minnesota if Josh Dobbs doesn't.
Hold on. You just said
just
you
said,
are what your record
that's
says
my
you
point.
Are.
This is, as my evidence is I can give you a pushback on games you won
right.
that they probably shouldn't have won if things went the way that
don't
people
disagree.
Would say.
Don't disagree.
Okay, good. Do you have the Bears at 9-0, Waddle? Because you haven't done the road games. You haven't done the road games, right?
I don't know, Miller.
Can you tell me, just in the last 18 years, the quarterbacks who were rookies that took their team to the playoffs?
In the last how many years?
18.
Good sample the Texans. Size.
Name me the quarterbacks.
CJ Stroud.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence did not. That team was a train wreck. Mitch was not. Mitch was a second-year player.
Mm-hmm.
Probably easier just to try and name the quarterbacks that went as rookies. Ben Roethlisberger?
Yep.
Did Flacco?
Yep.
Mm, wow, look at you guys. You guys are good. I don't know.
Andrew Luck? Russell Wilson, Mark Sanchez, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy.
I should have known Mac Jones. I know that he went.
Those guys all went with C.J. Stroud. All of them. Mm-hmm. Why can't our guy do that?
He could.
For Christ's sake, you get ready, man. There's playoff football coming to Chicago this season.
I hope so.
Let's go.
Where are we going?
We're going to London to do the show.
Okay.
Ready.
You know where we're going right now? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue Aki's A-List because yes. we didn't give it enough
we
air.
We interrupted him.
Not enough oxygen for this.
Correct. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Aki's List rolls on.
Let's get to it.
What did I call it?
Aki's List.
Aki's A-List. I'm telling you, I'm having one of those days.
You're having a day. All right. Yeah. We've talked a lot about the starting quarterback, but I think there's still some questions about the backup quarterback as well. Tyson Bagent is on the roster. Brett Rypien was signed as well. Let me run through a list of some quarterbacks that are still available that if you would be interested in bringing them into the room with Caleb Williams. Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, absolutely.
I think he's a true professional.
That's why I would.
I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of money on him. How much is that going to cost me?
Probably not much. I mean, you've got
$5 million
of money.
$5 million? $6 million
a most.
I would think about that. I think Ryan Tannehill would be a calming influence inside the quarterback room with a lot of knowledge.
Totally agree. I'd bring
Melon,
him in.
Would you buy that?
I'm not selling you for
$10 million a year.
I'm trying
Marv
to think.
Brett Rippon.
You've got Whatever's Brett Rippon and Tyson Bagent on your roster. Yeah. Or I can go through some of
the
other names.
Listen, here's the deal, too. If you think that you are built to win now, you're not going to get there with Brett Rippon more than likely.
No, yeah.
If, in fact, you have a quarterback injury.
Well, you've got Bagent.
I would feel more comfortable with
Ryan Tannehill
than I would.
Yeah, I don't want Brett Rippon taking snaps. He can help in the quarterback room. Mm-hmm. But I've seen him play a few games. Not good.
All right, I think Ryan Tannehill would be a nice backup quarterback.
Yeah. I'm not ready to just go, Bagent, there you go.
Yeah.
No.
Does he know Shane Waldron's system? He operated under Arthur Smith for a long time.
In Tennessee.
I think so. I think he's as an accomplished veteran, I think he'd be flexible learning the offense.
And he's not coming in to start.
No. Nope.
All right, next up, Brian Hoyer.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill.
Blaine Gabbert.
I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill.
Blaine Gabbert has himself a Super Bowl ring, right? From last
year. With Tampa.
Did he have two?
He had Tampa, too, didn't he?
So yeah, he was riding in the Mahomes limo.
Last year, yeah.
He was Brady's backup, I believe.
I would still go with Ryan Tannehill.
Trevor Siemian.
Ryan Tannehill.
Carson Wentz.
Ryan Tannehill.
He's a bad guy. No shot.
Not Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian's a great guy.
No, I'm talking about Carson Wentz.
Okay, just want to make sure that people are understanding.
What if you could trade a 7th-round pick for Justin Fields to be your backup quarterback?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm going to pass there. I'm chasing greatness.
All right, real quick, before we give away some more teams.
Why do you do that to people? Like, you're just trying to
poke
the inside
bear.
People.
That's what I do.
Before we give away some more teams here, you two made a bet upstairs.
Yeah.
About the Reds and the Cubs.
Yeah.
So Cap has the Cubs. You're giving Waddle a game.
One game.
83.5 for Cap and 82.5
for the Reds.
So it's not really based off
those
of the lines.
Like,
those
just,
are the lines.
Yes.
So that's how we determined.
You've
got
to beat the Cubs. Have to have more. They have to have two wins or more than the Cincinnati Reds.
Correct. State your positions why you believe you are winning.
First of all, the Cubs have a deeper roster of experience.
Just trying to embarrass me, Tyler.
Players, A. B, they have the best defense up the middle in Major League Baseball between Yan Gomes, Cody Bellinger in center.
Yan Gomes is not going to be as clutch at the plate this year as he was last
year. What are you talking
about? I'm talking about him at the plate. I'm talking about him defensively.
Okay, I know, but
and
I'm just saying offensively.
And then I've got
Dansby
Swanson, a Gold Glove shortstop, and Nico Horner, a Gold Glove finalist at second. I have got the best middle defense in baseball, certainly in the National League, and if they stay healthy, I believe the Chicago Cubs will be an 87-win team. And I believe that they will win their division.
You want to tag me into this, Waddle?
Yeah, Meller. You
can
speak.
Tag me in.
I just, you know what?
I know what Waddle.
I just have a good feeling in my gut that the big red machine is going to rev up.
This is what's running through Waddle's mind right now.
Right.
He daydreams about the Reds.
You tell him, Meller. Tell Tyler what I'm thinking.
He knows they've got the spirit of Pete Rose running through their blood, as always. And that is embodied by young Ellie De La Cruz.
Let's do it.
One of the most exciting players in baseball.
He might not even make the team.
Oh, he's making the team. Don't worry.
Zip it.
He might go 37.
Make
the
team.
There, Cap.
Yes, they're talking that he might not make the team.
Ellie De La Cruz?
He was horrible after the first 2 weeks last year.
I compared him to
Aristides Aquino.
Yeah, and everyone just screamed at him.
Yeah, where's he playing? In Japan or Korea?
He's better than that. Listen, they do have a lot of good young players on their roster. Matt McClain will be playing second base or shortstop.
Who?
He's very versatile.
Matt McClain.
He's very good. You've got Spencer Steer.
Spencer Steer, bring it.
A good rookie season last year. You know who else is going to be batting fourth or fifth for you, Waddle? The Candyman.
Yeah, that's right.
Jamer Candelario, Cap. You're very familiar with him.
Yeah, you couldn't. You couldn't get your pants on quick enough when they signed him.
Christian Encarnacion Strands. I mean, listen, the Reds are so deep. They had Noel V. Marte suspended for 80 games, and they didn't even blink. They've got so much talent. They're dripping on that roster. They can hit the ball. Just as long as they don't have to pitch, they're good.
Yeah. Give me their rotation.
Hunter Green.
He's got a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Montas will be your opening day starter.
Frankie Montas is going to be my opening day sponsor.
Starter too.
Same thing.
Because you'll be drinking so much. Graham Ashcraft will be in the rotation. And also Andrew Abbott, who had a nice little run.
Tyler Martinez. I know what you were doing. You were just trying to prove that I don't even know who's on my team.
I wanted you to defend your position.
This is what I know. I know that the Reds have a good, young, talented team. I know more about the Cubs than I do the Reds. And I'm still holding it against my owner that the owner said...
You could run a smear campaign the other way, too.
No, I don't want to do that. I want to play the game the right way. My owner basically said, let them be mad, where else are they going to go? Okay, you kind of lost me there.
Yeah, Bob Castellini.
Yeah. So...
let's give away some teams.
Let's do it.
I'll let you buy out the bet right now for $95.
I'll let you stay in the studio until 6:30.
Wow.
All right, 312-332-3776. A little something we like to call 64 teams, one
chalice.
There you go.
Not a cup.
Stop. If your team wins it all, you're going to win a gift card to Lou Malnati's, courtesy of Mindy Kaplan. You're also going to win an Io DeSumo signed basketball and a Sister Jean bobblehead. We pulled out all the stops.
Had to
for
break
you.
Danny's heart because he is the biggest Sister Jean fan in the world.
So is Meller. Meller is a Loyola grad. So that's
Rambler
what we got.
Up. I was a little heartbroken last week.
Do you want to have a little stadium conversation before we cross talk with Abdallah and the Good Kid?
Yeah,
we'll do that when we come back.